Johnny is back. Johnny's back. Survive the tornado.
Survive. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you're like, we've lived in this house for 18 years, right? And in those 18 years, it's twice. There's two times we've had to go to the basement for tornadoes. What's crazy is both of those times have been within the last year to year and a half. And my poor wife, she was driving home from work when it all started really kind of popping off.
Oh, no.
And so she called and she's like, hey, like, I'm coming in hot. I'm kind of scared. Stay on the phone with me. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and like, she's like, I'm on this road. I'm coming down this road. And she's like, the lightning is nuts. It is like a strobe effect out here. I'm like, yeah. I mean, cause I'm like watching it from out, you know, like from the porch and stuff like that. And I was watching something on TV and I didn't know it's as bad as it was. And she gets home. She's like, we need to go to the basement. I'm like, what? I'm like, it's storming. She's like, just turn on the news for me. And I know a lot of folks aren't from Central Ohio, so they may not get this reference. But when we turned it on, Channel 4 was like, yeah, like if you're like there's rotation just north of Marysville. And I'm and so Marysville's like kind of west of us. And I'm like, oh, whoa. Well, all right. And they're like, hey, the storm's moving at 35 miles per hour. And oh, by the way, if you're in West Delaware, I'm like, that is like legitimately like yes, we are West Delaware. They're like, if you're in West Delaware, you might want to think about in the next 10 to 15 minutes heading to your basement, your safe space. I'm like, ah, it'll hit the hot air from Marysville. It'll and dude, like, never mind 10 to 15 minutes. It was like 2 minutes goes by. They're like, might wanna make that now. You might want to head to the basement now. And I'm like, oh shit. And like sirens are going off. Here's what's crazy. Ronnie, right? Ronnie the Lozier, he calls. He's like, what you doing? I'm like, ah, oh, we're in a basement. He's like, oh, I'm still out in the back porch. And this dude, like, legitimately lived right under the path where this thing ended up going.
Wow.
And so we're in the basement. I call him back. I'm like, hey, where you at now? He's like, oh, no, I got in the house. It got really crazy out there. That's what I thought, tough guy. He's like no,
like Lieutenant Dan out there.
Yeah. Hey, you know, yeah. But you know, like I feel, you know, like just like I feel bad because there were lives lost out in Indian Lake. So, you know, thinking about those families, thinking about that community. Indian Lake is like it's kind of sort of rural West Ohio. It's obviously has a lake. A lot of people go there and kind of hang out and boat. So it kind of a little weekend getaway kind of place. So I feel really bad. They took a pretty bad beating. And then so did up by Walpuck. You and I had talked about that up by Walpuck. They took a pretty bad beating. Yeah. So yeah, thinking about those folks, but
yeah. You said you were in the basement, I looked up on the weather app and it said for Delaware and it said tornado is imminent. And I'm like, it's happening.
It's like, what's crazy is like, even like, it's one of those weird things where like you hear that this is happening. And then when you see it, you're like, oh. And so we went over to, we went southeast of where we live over into like this like Berlin Township area of Delaware County, like over by where Sunbury is. I don't know if you know where that is or not, but like,
yeah,
there was like big trees all tore up and pulled down. One of the high schools had their scoreboard completely ripped off and tossed across the football field. So it was, gotta love the Midwest. So
I'm glad you all are safe.
Thank you.
But yeah, so it's March Madness, and it's March Madness not only with basketball. Barkley is full on underway. I will admit, I did make a prediction on social media after the show last Thursday that it was going to start. I said it's going to start like soon, meaning like that night or maybe the day after, you know, by the weekend at the latest.
Yeah. Well,
the reason I made that prediction was maybe based on some bad intel. somebody had posted on Twitter that the Frozen Head campground was full. And the people were saying they haven't seen any Strava activity from people that were in it. So it seemed like it was going to start, but proved wrong. It started yesterday, Wednesday morning at 5:17 a.m. Eastern time. I even know somebody that's really close to Laz and close to Barkley, and he's at Barkley every year. He has a great history with Barkley. He's wrote a book about Barkley. But, you know, so I know him through somebody else too, and they were texting with him, and, you know, nobody will give up the goods on
no.
It's starting, but
it's Barclays is like Fight Club. Rule one, you don't talk about Fight Club. You know what I mean? Like they do not talk about it.
But, no, totally respectable.
But Laz is doing Laz things this year, baby. It is. Yeah. It is full on. You know what's kind of funny? Like I feel like an absolute sociopath for even getting ready to make the comment I'm getting ready to make here. But it's a little bit of a softer year this year, no? Like they got some pretty great weather down there. Like I've seen pictures, like this is one of the first years I can remember, you know, and I mean I've been following Barkley for I don't even know how long, but this is like legitimately one of the first years I can remember where like people were like looking hot. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw a dude like drinking water, like trying to pour water, like cooling off, and I'm like, super tatted out. What are we like? What? Look at this. This dude doesn't even have sleeves on. Get this weak Barkley nonsense.
It looked like Western States and the bottom of the canyon. You know?
Yeah.
But no, I think you're right. There's something brewing it. At Barkley this year, because there's never been this many people. According to this, there's 10 people that started out on loop 4. And that's never happened. And including a very accomplished female,
Jasmine
Paris, who she's a British fell running champion. She has records on the Bob Graham round, the spine race. I mean, like, she is just awesome. And I think she's done Barkley before, too. But so she has the experience. And she's right with the lead group. So she could be the first female to ever finish the Barkley marathons.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this and you don't know what Barkley marathons are, please just go to YouTube, or you might already be on YouTube. Just do a search for Barkley Marathons, The Race That Eats Its Young, and watch that documentary. It's an incredible deal. But most ultra running fans are well aware of Barkley, and the hardcore fans have been following Twitter nonstop for the last 40 hours under the hashtag BM100, and that is that's the only source of Barkley updates on what's going on is one guy's Twitter feed, Keith Dunn.
Dude, his whole Twitter feed, like it's funny, he had zero footprint on Twitter, and then what, probably 4 years ago or so ish he started like live tweeting it, and like it's like woof. All of a sudden, this dude is like, and it's cool because I mean, for all I know, this dude might be like legit, like ultra runner outside of like live tweeting Barkley. But like, as far as I know, the only reason I know of him is because of Barkley. I don't know any other accomplishments he has, but it's really funny now because like you can watch other elites, like the other elite runners know and recognize him now and like talk to him and chit chat. It is so cool. It is a really, really, really fun thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think what happened was when the year they did the documentary, the race at Eats, it's young. It really gave the race some notoriety.
Yeah.
In the national news circle, and media was trying to get out there to cover it. And Laz shut that down. Because, you know, the park can only, Frozen Head State Park, like that campground area is pretty small, I think. And Laz doesn't want all that press out there. So he pretty much, I think he just banned most media and was like, and Keith is the only guy that can really tweet the updates. So,
and not to give too much away about the history of Park, like definitely go watch the documentaries, read up on it on your own internet. But the reason this race started is absolutely hysterical. I mean, it has a pretty, like, Laz's, like reasoning behind why he started. It's pretty outstanding. But it also goes to talk about, like, probably another really good reason why he doesn't want media out there. It's not only is that campground small, but it's rural. Like, if go to Google Map and you Google Frozen Head, like, that place is, I mean, it's out in the cut. You know what I mean? Like, it is way out there.
Brushy Mountain.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's, the state penitentiary was out there, and that's where was it James Earl Ray that he escaped, and he only made it like 7 miles in 2 days or something, and that's why.
Well, and so that's why the race started, right? Like
right.
Because Laz and his buddy's like, well, shit, I could have got that far, and they're like, well, let's find out.
And
they started this like ridiculous race. No,
it's, yeah, it's fascinating. Awesome. But so there's 8 to 10 people out on loop four. There's a total of 5 laps, and they have 60 hours to complete 5 laps. And John Kelly, who is a 2-time Barkley finisher, I believe, right? I think he's a 2-time.
I was going to give him one more. I thought it was 3.
Maybe I thought Jared Campbell was the only one with 3, but
and so I might have had those two confused actually. Like that might be
John Kelly, it's 2 or 3, so he's definitely got the experience. And John Kelly is just one of those hardcore guys that's just like he's not going to give up, and he's super calculated, he's super dialed. He grew up in that area, so you know, he's well positioned to finish. And he was the first one to leave out on loop four. So I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, unless something goes majorly wrong for him, he will finish. And Jasmine Paris, same with her. I mean, you know, She has a great shot of becoming the first female to ever finish Barkley. And that would be so great because, you know, Laz, he's not sexist, but he has said, he's on record as saying that no female will ever finish Barkley. I think he says that to, you know, to fire people up and, you know, so. Yeah.
I think it's that also. I think it's one of those weird things where, like, if you remember maybe I'm the only kind. Well, I know I'm not the only kind, but between you and I, maybe I'm the only one that's a dumbass kid like this. I bet you won't. Shit. Say it again. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And I think there's a level of that with Laz. We're like, oh, it won't happen because he does want people to come and try. He wants people to come and try on his grounds, you know what I mean? Like on his standard. But I think that's why he does that kind of stuff. I don't think it's out of malice. I think it's out of like poking the bear kind of thing to like,
absolutely
get the best out of people and like provoke a challenge. Like I have never said a word to Laz. You know what I mean? Like I've never seen them. I've never been in the same breathing air as Laz. So I'm only guessing this just kind of out of like proxy conversations other people have had. And it's just the vibe I get from it. So I believe that's what it is. I hope
It's part of his whole stick. Like, you know, people won't finish this race. You know, it's too hard. And he really does want people to finish. You know, so yeah, I believe it's coming from a good place, and I believe he will give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
You know, if Jasmine can hold out and get this thing done, and I really hope she does.
I so desperately want
that. That's history in the making.
Yeah.
That's one other reason why I thought that Barkley was going to start last weekend, was because Laz is starting another Transcon. He's walking across America again, starting on April 1st. So I was like, he's got to get Barkley done.
Yeah. Quick.
But, So the other people, Damian Hall, Sebastian, Ihor Varese. He's the guy that had the assist at
backyard.
Backyard, yeah, Biggs backyard.
Now, should we talk about it now?
So who did he assist? He assisted Harvey Lewis, who broke the record at Biggs. Harvey was out training on the Barkley course at Frozen Head. I thought he maybe was well positioned to give it a run this year, and Johnny had said maybe that this race style might not be for him. And Johnny proved right.
It's just like, and it's funny to say, right? Like it's insane. Like, listen, I'm okay with admitting this. I'm a middle of the pack to back of the middle pack, probably now with my knee, a back of the pack runner. And my days of hundreds are probably over. I'm probably down to like 50Ks and 50 milers. So I know it sounds a little silly for me to say this out loud, but like every runner has their niche. Every runner has like, oh, I'm good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey is unbelievable. Like he is a absolute freak of nature on smooth, maintained, flat surface, right? Like you put him on like Badwater. The dude's a beast out of Badwater. He's a badass. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to hold his jock at Badwater. or quite frankly, probably any other race. But yeah. Like it's a different beast, man. And like you and I were talking about this before and even after we started recording today about the Briars. Like it's just a different beast. If you've never ran through the woods, truly through the woods, not through a trail, but like through a wood, it's different, man. Like,
yep.
And so
it's painful.
That's a good word. Frustrating is like you know, you got the wait a minute vines and the thorns and like, I don't know. There was just something painful. For sure.
Mentally and physically. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, great call there. You know, it's too bad. I was hoping he would give it a good run, but Jared Campbell could become a four-time finisher.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so dude, I we're sitting here talking all this talk, the fun run, completing how many loops is a fun run? Four, right?
Three loops in 40 hours.
Three loops in 40 hours get you a quote unquote fun run. Okay.
Right. So there's two people that were possibly going to get the fun run done that they didn't set out on loop four in time. That's like Guillaume, and he's a really good ultra runner too. And Thomas Dunkerbeck, I'm not really sure who that is. But the other people out on loop four are Maxime Godwin, and I'm pretty sure I've heard of him, and Albert Herrero. I think I've heard his name too. And then the Japanese runner, Tomo Kaiu. So, yeah, man, we might have, you know, last year there was three finishers. But, you know, it was weird. Before last year, there was several years where there was no finishers.
Yeah, it is a weird thing where, like, I mean, this race has been going on for way longer than people
like 35 years.
Yeah, it's been running forever. And it legitimately didn't have its first finish for years and years and years and years. You know what I mean? And so, it is interesting to kind of think. The cool thing about Laz, and I think the stuff that Laz does, is he forces people to reconsider how they train, right? Like, he has created like niche races within a niche race world anyways, right? Like, let's be honest, ultra running is already kind of a dumbass thing that has its own niche. And Laz is like, oh yeah, check this out. And then it's like taking it to a whole nother.
Yeah.
And so I do believe the reason you're starting to see more and more and more finishes in more and more year, like fewer and fewer years and that kind of thing, you know, is because people are like, oh, okay, I can't train for Barkley the same way I train for literally any other 100, right? Like, you're like, yeah, I need to train and understand how to move through woods and knock down single track. I need to learn how to land nav. I have to be able to land navigate, right? Like, there's not going to be little punk ass pink flags every, you know, every quarter. No safety flag out here, bud. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Noah, do not go this way flag.
Yeah. You don't got, you don't have any of that, right? Like, you ain't get the, hey, two flags at every turn kind of nonsense. Nada. Zip, zero, zero. Yeah. And so people are now getting like, oh, okay, this is a whole nother beast. And like, they're getting ready for it. And I think that's why we're seeing more and more success, you know, over the years.
Yeah, I agree. People are starting to figure out the keys to.
Yeah.
To training, and I also think that you have to have some luck on your side with the weather, especially because the weather out at Barkley can either be, it can be many different things in the same, in the same 60-hour period. You might have hail, snow, rising rivers, fast flowing rivers that you have to cross. And then it can be like 80 and sunny and just dying of heat, all within the same 60-hour period. So I would say that the warmer temperatures probably benefit the runners. And I think the last 2 years has been perfect. So,
yeah, especially when you consider what we're considering warmer right now. Like what we're calling warmer right now is still like, it's probably in the 50s. Maybe 60s. It's not like warmer, like Western States warmer. We are, exploding in the canyons, you know?
Yeah.
What sort of thing they always talk about? Like, be careful in the canyons. You'll spontaneously combust. Or they always overhype how hot the canyons are.
Yep, exactly. So Barkley is full on underway. Like, we could literally do just like a live stream of Loop 5 at some point, but we could really talk about it for a while.
I got nosy. John Kelly finished in 2017 and then finished in 2023. So this will be his third.
Yep.
So Jared Campbell,
two previous finishes.
Yep. Jared Campbell has 2012, he has 2014, and he has 2016.
Yep.
So
he's going for number four.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, it's just awesome. So we might have a year of records, right? Number of finishers, might have a female finisher.
The first person to get to four. Well, and it's funny, the first person to get to four is the only person to three. You know what I mean? And then if John finishes, you'll only have the second person ever to get to three. And then the only other person that has two finishes is Brett Mon, who I don't know Brett Mon.
No.
And what's crazy is he finished back to back. He finished 2011 and he finished 2012.
Oh, okay.
And he's the first person to finish twice, and he did it back to back here. So I don't know who that dude is, but he was a bad son of a bitch.
Yeah, and there's only been 17 total people that have finished, I think, right? I mean, some correct. Of them have some of them have more than one finish, but there's only been 17.
Okay, so while we're like, we got to look this dude up. Brett Mann, not only was he the first person to get two finishes, and he did it back to back years, 2011, 2012. He holds the current record for the course.
Oh.
52 hours, 3 minutes, 8 seconds.
Holy.
Homie, that is getting it. That wow. is getting it.
That's so incredible.
That is nuts, right? It'd be interesting to see if it goes down this year. Because here's how impressive that time was. You and I just talked about how nice last year was and how the weather was good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The winning time, the quote-unquote winning time for last year was 58 hours, 23 minutes, 12 seconds.
Like 58, it's just, yeah. It's usually in that 58 to 59 hour range.
Crazy.
So that Guillaume, this is what happened to him. He forgot a page, I believe, on one of his loops.
Yes, I did see that.
He had to go back out and get that other page and come back. And he did, right here's the tweet 6 minutes ago from Keith Dunn. He did finish loop three in 39 hours and 52 minutes and 59 seconds. So Guillaume got the fun run done. So cool. All right, well, we will definitely go over the rest of Barkley in the next episode. For now, we can move on to...
Hold on. You're on our Twitter feed. Okay, go to the top of our Twitter feed.
Okay.
Just go. All right. We should be at the top. You're on the following. Start scrolling down real fast. And like, oh, how do you and I have different feeds? There is a tweet. There is a tweet from Jared Beasley, right?
Yeah.
In there. And it is Ior's legs going through the – they are shredded.
Oh.
They are absolutely shredded. His legs look like death warmed over. He is getting lit up. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, right there it was. Right there. Look at his legs. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So
wow.
That is what we're talking about, folks. Ouch. That is like that's the difference between.
Yep.
No way.
If you're listening on podcast platform, his legs are just shredded. They're all marked up from those briars. It's pretty brutal. You know that's got to be stinging like crazy. Oh,
the sweat hitting that.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, let's move on from Barkley as much as I could talk about it all day. It's awesome. But the third race in Ultra Running Magazine's Old School Ultras took place last weekend. That's Chuckanut 50K. That's your classic Pacific Northwest 50K. I think it's just under 5,000 feet of climbing. And there was 585 runners who finished Chuckanut.
Dang, that's a lot of people.
Yep. It's a big race. And the women's race was only separated by 2 minutes, for the first three women. But at the finish, Claire DeVoe was victorious in 4 hours and 13 minutes. And the other two finished in 4 hours and 14 minutes and 4 hours and 15 minutes. That's Jade Belsberg and Priscilla Forgy. So, yeah, 2 minutes separated the first three female runners. That's pretty awesome. And for the men's race, Francesco Puppi, P-U-P-P-I. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Wow.
Sorry, Francesco. he's from Italy. And then Matt Daniels went toe to toe under the old course record. Puppy won in 3 hours and 26 minutes. So he won the $200 course record bonus. So course record for Francesco, very nice. Cool. And then he got $400 first place cash. And then Daniels was 2 minutes behind him, 3 hours and 28 minutes. Those are some pretty smoking fast 50K times for just under 5,000 feet of climbing, 3 hours and 26 and 3 hours and 28. So Adam Peterman had the record there on a shorter course. So Max King's 3 hours and 33 minutes was the recognized record from 2017, but that got beat this year. So, and also last weekend was that our destination race, Johnny, Eco Trail Paris.
dude, I'm telling you, I want to do that race really, 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 really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. I've been eyeing it up for like a decade. I just think it's cool that it goes out to the trails, you know, right outside the city, and then finishes climbing up to one of the first levels of the Eiffel Tower. So,
mm-hmm.
But Androy's Bonefils from France, he went under 6 hours for the win, and that's a 50 miler, 5 hours and 57 minutes. And then for that was for the men. They don't have the one. Oh wait, Manon Grass was victorious for the women, 7 hours and 12 minutes. So yeah, that was last weekend as well. And what else do we have last weekend? Oh, Ruckachuck 50K. So this takes place on the Western States Trail. And it's an out and back course, and it's basically the Cal Street. Have you been out to Western States
at all? Yeah. I went out and paced Dave Wells.
Oh yeah.
So this picking up at Forest Hill. Forest Hill is the school aid station, right? Yeah. You come in at a school. That place is bumping when you come in there too.
It is
like, that's a full-on ass party.
It is. So this race starts at where the big river crossing is.
Mm-hmm.
It starts there, near there, and it's called Driver's Flat. So it starts near there and it goes on the Western States Trail. So basically this is the reverse direction of Western States. It goes through the Cal Street section. And I believe it gets to Forest Hill and turns around and comes back.
So it does get to that school.
Yep.
We're mm-hmm. really, really, really close.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny, cause that means that race is the first half of it. You're climbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Climbing, and then like you just like I mean, you should be able to make up a hell of time, because that's a pretty big descent going down to river crossing down there. So you should be able to.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's Western State course. So like, it's not like it's like you're not tripping over anything. You know what I mean?
Other
than like you should be able to really go.
Yeah, that it's not cool. Not too bad. So Ruckachuck 50K, Jennifer Schmidt destroyed the course record. She won in 4 hours and 17 minutes and got second place overall. And first place was Kyle Roberts, 4 hours and 1 minute, fifth fastest time on the course. So that's kind of a cool race to, if you want to see a nicer part of the Western States course, a fast part of the course. There is that long section along the river there where if you're on the way out towards Forest Hill, it's just like gradual climb along that river. It's actually like kind of annoying if you're going that way, because canyons when I did it 2 years, it went that way too, along the river, the opposite direction as Western States. And it's just an annoying little climb, but you know, you have to run it because it's almost flat, but it's like, it does have a gradual uphill.
I think it's affectionately referred to as douche grade.
That's right.
when I paced Dave Wells out there, I picked him up at the river crossing. And why am I drawing a blank on that name of that
Ruckachuck.
River? Ruckachuck. I picked him up at Ruckachuck. And so it's kind of cool because, like, I will fully admit, one of the things I was like, I really want to do the river crossing. So yeah. So I picked him up there, took him up that climb, and then I paced him all the way to Painted Rocks. Is that
the
one that's like
it's on like the hill? Mile 90,
yeah,
92.
I paced him.
Or 94, there. Maybe, 94.
Yeah, I paced him out to there. And like that was like, actually, when we got him to that point, it's really pretty. Like that's a really cool part of the trail where it kind of opens up and stuff
like
that.
It's like prairies. So, and
Yeah, it's super weird because like, you're in, I think that's the other, like, I jumping topics a little bit here. Allow me to digress for half a second. I think that's one of the really cool things I think that's one of the really cool things about Western States is you start up in an Olympic Valley and it's ski resort, man. Like it's legitimately a ski resort, you know?
Straight up mountains.
Straight up. Yeah. You know, you start there and then it kind of goes into like, you know, like the forests, but like rolling kind of like nice trail forest run. Right.
Yeah.
And then you get the canyons and it's a little bit more, you know, not forest, you know what I mean? Like it's like scrub and then the river and then the prairie. Like it is a cool, it's an amazingly diverse course.
Yeah. You go
it's
through
really cool.
You go through a lot of different like ecosystems.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's crazy though. Like that first 50K is no joke. I mean, there's like 7,000 feet of climbing in that first 50K up to Robinson Flat.
Have I heard people in the past kind of like say, like, hey, let's like Western States, like survive that first 50K and like just hang on. Like,
if
just,
you can manage, cover. If you can manage the heat after that first 50K, you're going to be all right. Because after that first 50K, you have like a 13-mile downhill.
So don't blow your quads. Don't roll an ankle. Just survive.
And then you're at the bottom of a canyon, and then you have that long climb up.
Devil's Thumb.
Yeah, Devil's Thumb, and then at Deadwood you drop down and you climb up to Michigan Bluff, and then you hit that after Forest Hill, you hit that Cal Street section where it's really nice downhill. Like, yeah, it's a cool race. You have to be efficient because the cutoffs are kind of strict at Western States, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have 30 hours and it's net downhill, but there's still 18,000 feet of climbing. It's not a cupcake at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. It's like that 18,000 foot of climb. I mean, clearly, a big chunk of it dropped the rip. Like,
yeah, like
the
like,
starting line, like literally, yeah,
like almost half on the first 50K.
And then after that, you got those two other big climbs. Like, it's weird. It's a weirdly heavy front heavy race.
Yeah.
So, anywho, yep. I like. Yeah.
All right, and we had a couple races in Ohio last weekend.
All right. The one is one of my all-time favorites. I missed the OG version of this race.
Was that Buzzard Day?
Yeah, isn't Buzzard Day? Isn't that? Oh wait, you know what? I actually might be wrong. No, but Buzzard Day is ran at Hinkley.
Yeah,
Hinkley. And that's where in years past, Runner with Scissors has also been there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so if you're an Ohioan or even a Midwesterner, a lot of people know Run with Scissors because it's a Roy Hager. And Roy Hager's a effing Midwestern legend. Like that dude is just one of the greats. These are great races up in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I believe this is in or near Cuyahoga. Valley, right?
National yeah, Park it is. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful area. I used to really like that going through there during Burning River, mm-hmm. which I don't think they go through there anymore, do they?
I don't think they do. And again, you know, the rumor mill is the rumor mill. So the word on the street is a group, a race organization.
Yeah.
That basically just like kind of like did not heed the warnings from the National Park Service. And it was basically like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the parks were like, no, like we're being serious. Don't be doing this anymore. And so, you know, this race group, this race series thought they were smarter than the park service. Like, all right, fine. Well, we'll just have a fun run. And oh, quinky dinkly enough, if 50 people show up, well, you know, who are we to tell them not to show up? You know, right. we just, come on now. You know what I mean? Like the park service aren't idiots. They can see, mm-hmm. you know, like the aid out there, and they can see that, you know, Facebook posts and shit like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but anyways, yeah, from my understanding, the park services up there has put a pretty solid kibosh on basically all races in Cuyahoga Valley National.
Well, it only takes a few to, you know, a few bad things to ruin it, right?
And it was one bad race group, and it took less than a handful of years. Like, that's how, and like, that's after decades of Burning River running up there, Roy Hager having events up there,
right?
A few other folks that are really well known. It took one outside for profit, greedy ass race company to come in and F it all up.
Man, that's unfortunate. I think maybe my favorite race out there was it was one in the winter time, the Run for Regis.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a 50K. Yeah. And the year I did it, it was like 10 degrees in the morning.
Yeah.
And literally they had a fire going in that pavilion.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh my God, were you actually going to go out in this? Like, it was snow.
Yeah.
The, you know, there's this area where you have to like, you have to come in and go back out, I think 4 times. And there was like a foot of snow in this like quarter mile or half mile stretch. So you had to go through that foot of snow every time. The trails were like in decent shape. It was just running on top of padded down snow. But and actually that year, and it was so cold, but that year Chad Heald and I, we ran like first 26 miles together, and he had to leave. So he was stopping at the marathon mark. I went out for the last 5 miles to get the 50K in, but man, it was cold. But what a cool event.
Mm-hmm.
In January out there. But anyway, yeah, so Buzzard Day Trail Race, only 2 people did the 100K. So surprise, surprise, they got first and second.
That's awesome.
Rick Holman, 11 hours and 21 minutes for 100K. That's pretty fast. And Stacy Hum, 16 hours and 59 minutes. So first and second place. And they both got first place for their division gender.
Yeah.
The 50K, Chris Pabian, 5 hours, 35 minutes. And first place female is Heather Essen, 5 hours and 47 minutes. All right. And there's another race in Ohio, the Get Lucky 50-50. Mm-hmm. You heard of this race?
I have. And like the cool thing about this particular race is it's on the towpath up in Canal. And like, this is like, the folks that put this particular race on, pretty good people from what I know, from what I've, you know, experienced and talked to other people about them. Pretty good folks. My experience is this: Ohio races, the Northeast Ohio races, especially, the amount of charity that goes into their races is next level. And so like, I know we just talked about Buzzard Day. They have charities that they are near and dear to, because that race is also very, very tightly linked with Canal Corridor 100.
Okay.
This race has a few races that it also runs, but these guys also, like, if you go to the, if you go to these folks' website, they mm-hmm. have a handful of charities they give a lot of their proceeds to. So I am familiar with this one. It's a pretty cool race and pretty good people. Yeah. So I try to support these folks as much as I can. It's a pretty good group.
That's great. Any race that gives to charity or gives back to the park. That's what our sport's all about.
Good for them. You probably know, actually, I would be willing to bet, you know, Eagle Up, right? You've heard people talk about Eagle mm-hmm. Up. That's these folks.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah, that's these guys. Like, so they do, like, they obviously get lucky. Running with my Nomies, which I'm sure you, like that one.
Yeah.
Eagle Up. And then these folks are also the ones that have Tuscarora 100 now.
Oh, okay.
So that's this group. So they're cool, and they give a ton of their proceeds back to charity.
That's fantastic. Yeah. First place was Noah Yake in the 50 miler and 5 hours and 35 minutes. And first place female, Angie Darbyson, and 6 hours and 51 minutes. And then the 50K, David Herr took first, 3 hours and 27 minutes. And first place female was Jennifer Williams in 4 hours and 32 minutes. So congrats to them. And then Lake Martin 100, that's one that you always seems to be featured in things. It's in Alexander City, Alabama. It's a springtime, early spring, late winter, early spring 100 miler. Zach Jordan got first, 21 hours, 43 minutes. And for the females, Lauren Scribner, 24 hours and 5 minutes. All right. And there is one FKT that I do want to talk about real quick. And her name is Sika Henry. And this is a really cool, she must have created this segment because she's the only finisher. However, the time is incredible. And the route is even cooler than the time. So this is a route, and the name of the FKT route is Selma to Montgomery. And it's a historic, it's the route that the historic Civil Rights March with Martin Luther mm-hmm. King took. And, you know, I forgot that it was like a 50 mile march. So, Sika ran that route, the Civil Rights route, in 7 hours and 6 minutes. Very cool. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, she's the only one with the fastest known time, but I think she, you know, set a pretty good time there, 7 hours, 6 minutes. So there's, it's all on road, and there's about 1,400 feet of climb and 50.42 miles. So a cool project and a cool route. I'm sure we'll see some other people do it in the future, but good for Sika. That's really cool. Okay. Well, that's it for race results. Let's move into just some other fun stuff. So back to Barkley. Carl Saab, who had a great year last year, right? He was one of the Barkley finishers. Not only did he set the FKT on the Pacific Crest Trail that we talked about at length in one of our episodes, but he was also one of the Barkley finishers. And he's the 17th person to ever finish Barkley. And he released this really cool documentary in a timely fashion. It came out last week. It's on YouTube. And it's called Number 17 to Finish the Barkley Marathons. And that wasn't his first attempt at Barkley, but he did he did get it done last year when they made this documentary. I highly encourage everybody, if you want kind of an inside look at Barkley, this is a really good one. Your crew is very limited. There's like two spots your crew can go, right? The campground, and then at the top of Rat Jaw, I think there's like a fire tower up there or something. And, but they did get some good footage of him out on the course. And in loop five, he's like out yelling in the woods as he's going up this hill. And that's kind of how the video starts. So it's really cool. So if you really want, and a funny thing, you know, his, obviously he finishes, cause it's in the title of the documentary. The funny thing about his finish is like very similar to my fat dog finish, where it was really close, and he was out of his mind, like, you know, hallucinating. And I know all about that because it happened to me too, up for 48 hours and finishing with 5 minutes to spare. And he was close too on his, but he was like completely out of his mind. And the way he was breathing, running down through the campground towards the end, I could relate, because I was like, oh, thinking I'm not going to finish. And it was just, you know, and I could tell he was like kind of going through the same thing, but probably way worse. And he's said in the documentary, like, he imagined himself finishing Barkley, high-fiving people and all this, but when he got in, he just touched the gate and just straight collapsed. Like, he was on the ground, like, incoherent. I mean, it was nothing like he imagined it would be. But anyways, it's a really cool inside look at Barkley. I highly recommend it. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes if anybody is interested in checking it out.
You were mentioning how close of a finish it was. Did you mention how close it was? Mm-mm. It's the slowest finishing time in history. Like, it is the slowest finish of Barkley history. That is a finish. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He finished with just a few minutes to spare. Yeah. Like 5 minutes to spare or something.
I don't even know if it was that. Yeah. I just added up and deleted it or X'd out of that tab.
Yeah, no worries. I think he finished with like less than 5 minutes to spare, I believe. Yeah. I think it was like 4 minutes and some odd seconds to spare. But yeah, super close, you know, in the course of 60 hours and 100 and whatever Barkley ends up being. They say it's 100, but it's like 120 miles with like 60,000 feet of climbing, you know, it's like. And going off trail and through briars, 63,000 feet of climbing. So yeah, just an incredible accomplishment. You can see him laying there in the video. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I watched it when it came out to get psyched up for Barkley. So kind of cool. Something else that, I was going to maybe start to go over. I don't think we're going to go through the whole thing in this episode, but we can kind of piece it together as we go. But so AJW, everybody knows AJW. He has a regular column at High Run Far, and sometimes he does different themes for his column that he releases every Friday. And one of his themes is that he came out with, he's doing a series on under the radar races. And I thought that's kind of cool. And maybe, you know, we can just look at these races a little bit. And I do kind of want to try to like maybe message him and tell him that he should consider a race that was my first 50K and a race that, you know, that you're still heavily invested in volunteering, and that, you know, that,
oh yeah,
a race that I, you know, it's like forever has a place in my heart, right? My first 50K, I volunteered there for, like 8 or 9 years. You know, I've ran the course 8 times. I have 8 finishes on the course. But yeah, that's Forget the PR. And we'll talk more about Forget the PR once that weekend comes near, which is in a couple weeks. So
yeah, I happen to know the idiot that runs the beer tent there.
Yeah. I happen to when I was volunteering there, when I lived in Ohio or when I lived in Michigan, the aid station I worked at happened to be set up right next to the beer tent that
what
guy
a coinkydink.
What a coinkydink. So yeah, it was too easy to get
too
beer,
easy.
What a great fun time. But anyways, yeah. We'll talk more about Forget the PR in a couple weeks. But so I do want to talk about these races that AJW is talking about, and we'll just maybe go over the first one today. We can go, you know, maybe go over one a week or something, because we're already 56 minutes into this episode. But the first one is called Many on the Jenny, and this caught my eye because it takes place at Letchworth State Park in upstate New York, in the Finger Lakes area. And I'm like, Letchworth, why does that sound familiar? And I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure we went on vacation in that area when I was younger. And I texted my mom like, hey, did we ever stay at Letchworth State Park? And she was like, yeah, that's where we stayed when we went to the Finger Lakes. And,
awesome.
And she was like, yeah, she loves it. She's like, it's the Grand Canyon of the East. And it is the Grand Canyon of the East, it's called. There's 17 miles of the Hennessy River, named America's Best State Park in 2015 and the USA Today Reader's Choice Awards. And AJW says that the race is a brainchild of Eric and Sheila Egan. And it's a 45-ish mile race that uses both sides of the gorge in Letchworth State Park. 90% of the course is off-road, single track, fields, footbridges, bridle paths. You experience beautiful vistas, quad-busting climbs, and most importantly, grassroots, community-friendly event. In the style of old-school ultras, this race comes with a need for self-sufficient runners. Locally owned and operated by nonprofit TrailsRock.org, all proceeds are donated back to the park to support trail building and maintenance. Eric and Sheila capped the race at 150 runners. They don't allow pacers, to strive to minimize the impact on the park. And the entire event is staffed by unpaid volunteers from the local community. It's a tried and true grassroots event. They grew up going to the park. And after a cross-country trip, they planned, was unexpectedly canceled. They decided to spend a week hiking and running every inch of the park. And they invited local members of the local trail community to join them for their outings. And yeah, so they came up with this event to showcase the park. So definitely one, sounds cool. I'm definitely going to put this on my list of travel events that I'd like to do. So that's in Letchworth State Park in the Finger Lakes region. So, all right. And the last article that I want to just talk about is about ice baths. So we've all heard that ice baths are good for recovery, right? I for one have never partaken in an ice bath official. I've done the cold shower thing for a month or two, and I will say the cold showers definitely make you feel good, energized, clear. It's super mental though. Like, that's the thing. It just took a long time, so you know, you mentally had to work yourself up to get into that cold shower. But I've never done the ice bath thing, and I've never really been one to ice injuries either.
Yeah.
So And this article kind of goes over why these ice baths are actually not good for recovery. And it makes sense. And so let me say who Nick Tiller. He writes a lot of good articles. I recommend following him on Twitter. And I just want to read like two paragraphs of this article by Nick that kind of sum this up. So many ice bathers just like the feeling, the rush of endorphins and non-adrenaline that follows immersion. I get it. Personal experience of an intervention is important, and I never insist that something must be purely functional. Some people, for instance, find it relaxing to get massages or to schwitz in the sauna, and others eat organic food because they prefer the taste. It only becomes an issue when an intervention is incorrectly aligned with a functional claim. And by far, the most prolific users of ice baths are athletes and exercisers who jump or more accurately, gingerly slide into baths of icy water under the impression it'll rid them of muscle soreness and hasten their recovery. But the more they're studying ice bathing, the more they learn that athletes have it backwards. Regular immersion in cold water markedly inhibits recovery from strenuous exercise. So why does it inhibit recovery? Well, because muscle soreness is actually a consequence of doing physical activity that you're not accustomed to. And, you know, it could be a gym session, a run, repetitive household chore that took longer than expected. And just like a rubber band, if it becomes frayed, you continually stretch under load, your muscles sustain tears, and if stretched too far or exert too much force, and the subsequent damage causes a few days of swelling, inflammation, and soreness. So the ice, you know, moves blood away from that area, right, to reduce swelling. But in a sense, it's circumventing the body's natural response to healing that area or recovery, right? So mm-hmm. Have you ever done ice baths?
So it's funny because I haven't, and you know, I, in a weird kind of way, I'm lucky out of pure dumb luck of because of who some of my friends are that know this kind of stuff infinitely better than I do. And I actually remember a handful of years ago having like this like kind of achy kind of injury, and I was talking to Keith, a guy that I, you know, I run with quite a bit. I'm like, hey, man, I got this. He's like, well, and I was like, you know, for me growing up in the 80s, 90s, you know, it was the old acronym of RICE, right? Yep. rest, ice, compression, elevation. Like that's all like, you know, we were taught RICE will cure everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the swelling down.
Yeah. Like you could have a compound fracture. Rice it up, baby. You'll be good. You know? And so like, I remember talking to Keith about it, and Keith's like, hey, yeah, like actually, yeah. And this is a year or two ago. He's like, well, actually there's a lot of studies that suggest that icing is pretty detrimental actually to the healing process. You know, like for all the reasons that this is talking about, it stops what the body's trying to do to heal itself. And so ever since then, I'm like, oh, well, okay. Now, the caveat of this, you know, and it's funny because like I'm currently going through physical therapy again, and I was talking to the physical therapist about this same thing, and talking to her about, you know, icing, and I asked her, like, hey, like I've heard this, and she's like, oh, I actually know exactly what article you're talking about.
Oh, and really?
So her and I got to talking about it, and she's like, listen, ice is great if you're trying to control a acute pain, right? Like if you go out and like you just twisted the ankle and it hurts, like it really, really, really hurts. Yeah. Ice it for 20 minutes, take it off. If it's still like really aching and really hurting, ice it. But then after that initial like icing session, like that first day, she concluded, Keith, like everyone's like, yeah, like this article, like you should not be icing injuries like to prevent swelling, like or like icing down after stuff, there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, back to your original question. No, I don't do ice baths because I will tell you what I do love, and it's kind of actually the complete opposite of this. I do love me a really nice warm Epsom salt bath.
Okay.
Yeah. I love me some Epsom salt. I'm a lavender fan myself, so I like that lavender scented Epsom salt, and you know, dim the lights, maybe light a candle, dump in like a whole bag of Epsom salt, and just sit and soak, baby.
Hey,
that's my jam.
No, I have heard that there is some science behind the Epsom salt baths.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Pete Griggs does it, and he's a badass. So, I mean, if Pete does it, I mean, shit.
Yeah, no shame in that game. All right. Well, I think we're about at time, so we should probably wrap it up for this week. But tune in next time to find out what happens at Barkley. We're all pretty curious.
I'm not going to lie. I've been refreshing Twitter the entire podcast we've been doing.
So, heck yeah. They got to be getting in soon for the fifth lap, I think.
Yeah, and so just so everyone kind of knows like what times we're talking about right now, like as everyone knows, I'm in Ohio. We are recording this at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard on Thursday night. So listen.
So they're 41 hours in, I think.
Yeah,
started at 5:17 a.m. on Wednesday. So 36 hours would have been 5 p.m.
p.m.
So and then 41.
Almost 41
hours.
And listen, it's 10 o'clock here in Ohio, and I'm in the burbs, and it is darker than a devil's ass crack out there. So you know they are just in the throes of you know, East Central Tennessee.
Oh, man. So, and it is dark out there in East Tennessee.
Dark.
You did that race too. Like Chaz and I did Dark Sky 50.
Dark Sky. Oh yeah. I hate to admit I forgot I did that race. That was
you did it with Pete the year after we did. Or
Pete tried to effing murder me on that race. Pete's like, let's go. Let's pick up the pace. I'm like, listen, dude, I'm going to die. He's like, you're fine. And Pete. Yep. Yeah. That was a great race that unfortunately went to the wayside, man. That was a phenomenal race. But yes, you're right. It is dark out there in them hills.
Yes, it is.
So,
all right. Cool. Well, we will, we'll catch up with everybody next time and go over Barkley and, some other fun stuff. So, all right, now it's time to go watch some other March Madness.
yeah, watch basketball on the TV and keep refreshing Twitter, man. All right,
that's right.
Everyone have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right,
later. Thanks.